Happy Easter and welcome to another one of our little podcasts. Today we are going to get into the Pentecost Sunday readings because this is the Feast of Pentecost Sunday. And it is on this Sunday that we remind ourselves 50 days after the blessing of Easter, we come to the fullness of the reality of the resurrection in the bestowal of the Holy Spirit upon us. It is a time when we reflect upon not just our baptismal promises, but upon the true work of the Holy Spirit in confirmation in our lives, and how He breathes into us something even greater than we could ever ask or think, and allows us to become better Christians. Better Christians, much like people who study with us here at this podcast, at the Detached Catholic Place podcast, where we learn that religion is not the focus of Catholicism. It's really about a relationship we have with God, cooperating with Him, who is the Holy Spirit, who is Jesus of Nazareth, who is our eternal Father. And that is something that we teach through this particular podcast and what is available through our teaching material available at our website, dtesh.com. That's dtesh.com, where you can find more material to help you deepen your spiritual walk with Christ, like material links to our YouTube channel, where we have the Glorious Mysteries of the Rosary and others to follow, and other teaching material as well that'll be shown through a video presentation. We also have a link to the books that I already have published on Amazon. There's five of them. You can go to the My Books section, see the picture of the books, click on those pictures, and be taken to the Amazon website so you can get more familiar with those that are available there. There's also on there links to a Teespring website that we are setting up to be able to support greater things with this ministry, like having better sound material and being able to have more ability to publish things and do more wider things than we've currently been able to because of different things that are responsibilities in my life and different annoyances, such as missing days, have a double check on stuff like that. So that's being worked out. And there's a whole lot of other material that'll eventually be added to, but you can all find that at one location. That's dtesh.com or dtesh.com. So with all that set aside, let us begin our study for today through the liturgy of Pentecost Sunday by turning our hearts and minds to God in prayer and beginning in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, of light and love, you are the substantial love of the Father and the Son. Therefore, hear my prayer. O bounteous bestower of the most precious gifts, grant me a strong and living faith which makes me accept all revealed truths and shape my conduct in accord with them. Give me a most confident hope in all the divine promises which prompts me to abandon myself unreservedly to you and your guidance. Infuse with me a love of a perfect goodwill which makes me want to accomplish God's will in all things and act according to God's even least desires for my life. Make me love not only my friends but my enemies as well, in imitation of Jesus Christ, who through you offered himself on the cross for every person. Holy Spirit, animate, inspire, and guide me, and help me to always be a true follower of you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we turn our hearts and minds in prayer and focus our understanding today to the first reading for this Pentecost Sunday that's found amongst the Acts of the Apostles. When the time for Pentecost was fulfilled, they were all in one place together. And suddenly there came from the sky a noise like a strong driving wind, and it filled the entire house in which they were, and there appeared to them tongues as a fire, which parted and came to rest upon each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in different tongues as the Spirit enabled them to proclaim. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven staying in Jerusalem. At this sound they gathered in a large crowd, but they were confused because each one of them heard them speaking in his own language. They were astounded and amazed, and they asked, are not all these people speaking Galileans? Then how does each one of us hear him in our native language? We are Parthians, Medes, Elamites, inhabitants of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the districts of Libya near Cyrene, as well as travelers from Rome, both Jews and converts from Jews, Cretans, and Arabs. Yet we hear them speaking in our own tongues of the mighty acts of God, the word of the Lord. Lord, send out your spirit and renew the face of the earth. Lord, send out your spirit and renew the face of the earth. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are great indeed. How manifold are your works, O Lord! The earth is full of your creatures. Lord, send out your spirit and renew the face of the earth. If you take away their breath, they perish and return to their dust. When you send forth your spirit, they are created and you renew the face of the earth. Lord, send out your spirit and renew the face of the earth. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord be glad in his works. Pleasing to him be my theme, I will be glad in the Lord. Lord, send out your spirit and renew the face of the earth. The second reading is a reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different forms of service, but the same Lord. There are different workings, but the same God, who produces all of them in every one. To each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for some benefit. As a body is one, though it has many parts, and all the parts of the body, though many, are one body, so also is Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free persons, and we were all given to drink of one Spirit. The Word of the Lord. Today has a sequence, and that sequence is, Come, Holy Spirit, come, and from your celestial home, shed a ray of divine light. Come, Father of the poor, come, source of all our store. Come, within our bosoms shine, you of comforters the best, you the soul's most welcome guest. Sweet refreshment here below, in our labor rest most sweet. Grateful coolness in the heat, solace in the midst of woe. O most blessed light divine, shine within your hearts, our hearts, the innermost beings of us fill. Where you are not, we have nothing, nothing good in deed or thought, nothing free from the taint of ill. Heal our wounds, our strength renew, on our dryness pour your dew. Wash the stains of guilt away, bend the stubborn heart and will. Melt the frozen, warm the chill, guide the steps that go astray. On the faithful who adore and confess you evermore, in your sevenfold gift descend. Give them virtue's sure reward. Give them your salvation, Lord. Give them joys that never end. Amen. Alleluia. Alleluia. Alleluia, Alleluia. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of the faithful and enkindle them in the fire of your love. Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia. Our gospel reading is a reading from the Gospel according to St. John. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the doors were locked, where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, Peace be with you. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. And when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them. Whose sins you retain are retained. The Gospel of the Lord. So we have some very unique things in today's liturgy of the word. One of them is the sequence. You'll note that the sequence follows before, right after the second reading and before the Alleluia verse. This is to signify to the congregation and to you and me that there's something special about today, something unique and different. Just like Easter has what's known as the Exultant, the song that's sung the night of Easter candle being lit, that celebrates the resurrection and the symbolic form of the resurrection being seen by the candle being present to us. In fact, that candle is present and reminds us of God's presence in our life, Christ's risen present in our life, because it's symbolic of his resurrected body. It is something that represents that. That's why at every funeral mass you will have the Easter candle there as part of it to remind you of the risen Christ and the hope that comes about as a result of that particular service that we're supposed to be having as part of a mass. And it really is a very unique moment in the church when we have those things. There are typically about 8 times a year where there's a sequence added into the liturgy of the word to celebrate stuff. One of the sequences happens on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day to celebrate that particular day. So it's just showing that there's some high holy days throughout the year that have sequences. I think right now, the majority of them are Pentecost, Easter, and Christmas are the three that majorly they focus on, although there are sequences available for other days as well. But that's part of the reason why we have the sequence. Now, being able to go a little bit further into the readings of today, we will find out that the one big thing that draws all the readings together is this idea of the Spirit's animation of us, is using us in a unique way. And how he does things to affect our lives and change us. One of the things that he does is that he is our breath. In fact, if we look at the psalm itself, it says, "The earth is full of your creatures. You take away their breath, they perish and return to the earth. When you send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth." This is part of the prayer to the Holy Spirit when we say pray, when we pray, "Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, renew the face of the earth." You know, that whole prayer, I'm kind of saying it wrong, so I'm going to stop right there. But you know the prayer I'm talking about. And it's a reminder that the Holy Spirit is our very breath. When we're breathing in and out, we're breathing in and out spirit in a sense, because the Old Testament word for spirit was ruach, and that's how they understood it. And it shows us that God breathes new life into us by sending us the Holy Spirit. We are created anew together with God, and we together with God are to work to renew the face of the earth. We're the ones that are going out into all the world preaching the gospel and making the kingdom of God known through each one of us. If you do not live for Christ, the kingdom is not where you are. You have to be the kingdom to the world, not experience the kingdom of the world in you. That is a key thing here. And this is why in the gospel, the disciples are like creatures who have their breath taken away from them. They're in hiding. They're in a tomb, hiding in the upper room. And Jesus shows up and breathes on them the breath of life, just like he did with Adam in the garden, when he breathed into him the breath of life into his nostrils and he became a living being. This is what's happening here. Jesus, the one in whom all hope laid, had been killed and taken away, hidden within a room of locked doors, there without hope, purpose, and identity, much like everybody that's hiding out from the COVID thing, not moving out, because they are just like people who have died, who have perished, who've returned to the dust. It's to these people that the risen Lord enters and breathes new life, recreates them like he recreated Adam. Christ greets them with words of peace and sends them on a mission to do God's work. And this mission is a mission of forgiveness that comes by them ministering confession and baptism in its ultimate sense. Christ greets them. Christ gives them this new life, giving them the gift of the Holy Spirit, something we receive at our baptism as well, because we are kings and priests unto God from that moment on, able to intercede. This is a gift that manifests itself on Pentecost in that first reading from the book of Acts, where the Holy Spirit transforms a frightened group of disciples into brave and powerful preachers who make bold proclamations about the marvels of God that had been accomplished during the period of time in which they lived. And I've heard it many times that people go, well, this should be when you switch up the readings to where that first reading becomes the gospel reading because it's the most important. No, it's not. It's just showing you how all of the readings are important and like the gospel. There's a reason why we stand for the gospel and not the readings. It's because we're recognizing in the gospel the full real revelation of Jesus Christ while he was on earth in human form. That's what they relate to us. Those kind of stories, those kind of events that happened while he was incarnate. It even goes a little bit before that by about 6 months in talking about Zechariah and the conception of John the Evangelist, because he is the precursor, the one that prepares the way for the Lord. So that in every gospel, John is first leading us into the gospel message from the Old Testament period of time. But it's a reminder that all the readings are important, not just the gospel itself. When you come in just for the gospel, yeah, you're coming in just right on time, but you're missing a whole lot. And that's why you shouldn't make it a habit that every time you show up for Mass, you're showing up right at the gospel reading. I mean, let's be honest. That's short and changing your relationship with God because you're not participating in all parts of the gospel. I understand there are times when you have to cut Mass short because you get there late. And you still want to make your attendance, and you still want to be able to punch that time clock. I understand that mentality. I've been there. And I understand that it is important to be in Mass and not be in Mass. And that sometimes you just can't help it because you either work late or, you know, you wake up late because you work late the night before. I mean, things happen in life. It's understandable. But the same respects, we should not make it every Sunday. I mean, everybody that receives communion and runs out the door right away, every Sunday, that's a problem. I mean, that's just people just wanting to punch a time clock, be done with it, and be moved on to what's more important to them than the God that they want to have a relationship with. But it's just showing you how this all fits together. We should be like the apostles, talking and boldly proclaiming the gospel and spending our time in church services. And in fact, that's what the letter to the Corinthians by Paul was all about, a reminder about the Holy Spirit is the same Holy Spirit we receive in baptism. We don't receive in confirmation something new. I'm always amazed at how a certain group of people in Christianity want to make it a totally separate thing. It's not. It is part of the same parcel. The whole idea of confirmation is not that you were confirmed in something that you did not have at baptism. What confirmation does is affirm that seal. Think about that. It's like taking a test. The test only proves that you know the material that you've been studying the entire time. You having a diploma is proof that you have the knowledge of those classes that diploma requires. It is a graduation, but it's a graduation so that you can use them in a career or job of your choice or in how you live your life. That is what all this is all about. You've got God's seal of approval to continue to move on. But it's more than that, because now we have the working of the Holy Spirit in our life that really is the relationship that we enter into. We're adopted, we're children, we are actually in fellowship. I mean, it's the whole idea of getting married and not stopping the marriage. You still go on dates, you still woo the other person, you still show them respect. You don't just go, well, I got that one, so I don't have to do anything more. Because that'll lead to a divorce, that'll lead you going to hell if you do it with God. I mean, let's be honest. Because let's look at it. Paul reminds us that we are made new creatures, new creation. We are able now to proclaim that Jesus is Lord. We are able to stand, receive him in communion, and wait until the final dismissal and not leave at communion. We are able to proclaim that Jesus is Lord. Because what does the reading say? No one can say that Jesus is Lord except the Holy Spirit makes that possible. You see that every Sunday when you see people come late and leave early, that they don't have that Holy Spirit that truly recognizes Jesus is there. Because it's the same Spirit that unites us to one another and provides us with the gifts that each one of us has for the common good of the entire community. We are fired up by hope. We have a purpose and a new identity that the Holy Spirit gives to us and provides us with a new mission to go into all the world and preach the gospel and to be the gospel to the world that is dying and to experience Him who is our true and eternal blessing.